You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on June 11th, 2026. And this week, we're talking about income inequality. Many people view this as a problem and will sometimes even use the Bible to try to argue that governments should enact laws that would confiscate from the rich and redistribute that wealth to the poor. Well, does the Bible call for anything like that? Does it even address this issue at all? We're going to talk about that in our episode today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/06-11-26. Now for our discussion this week. Earlier this week, I posted an article on Substack titled, What is Wealth For? I'll link to that in the show notes. And that article addressed the Bible's teaching about how we are to use our wealth in a way that honors God. He has blessed us with these things. We want to use them in a way that honors Him. And this topic here is related. Now, it is a simple reality that not everyone earns the same amount of money or has the same level of wealth. Is that a problem? What should the Christian's attitude be about this? There are a few points I want us to consider. The first is how people generally view this issue of income inequality, especially for those who view it in a negative light. Some people view income inequality as being inherently unfair. It's as if someone can only get ahead at the expense of others. Therefore, any disparity that exists is unfair to those who earn less than the ones who earn more. And some believe that income inequality should not exist, that no one should have more money than others. And many of these people believe that the government should try to level the playing field by implementing various forms of welfare or social programs, by providing everyone with a universal basic income, or sometimes they believe that they should just go full-blown communism, and that's the solution to all this. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible does acknowledge the reality of income inequality. There are many examples in the Bible, and we will only scratch the surface on these, but many examples in the Bible of people who were rich and others who were poor. One example we can point to is that of the rich man and Lazarus. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. This account goes on to describe both men passing away. The poor man was being comforted in the afterlife, while the rich man was being tormented. However, the point of that was not to say that poverty is necessarily a virtue and that riches are inherently bad. It just shows us that there is a disparity that exists. Because there are other examples that we could look to that describe a righteous man as being the rich man or a rich man. Job is one example. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all men of the East. Job was righteous, and God himself even called him blameless in verse 8 of that chapter. He had more than others of that time. Not everyone had the same, that there was a disparity. And Job, a righteous man, was one of the rich men. We can also think of the example of the Apostle Paul. Paul experienced times of poverty and times of abundance. And he wrote about this in his letter to the Philippians. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. In either case, whether poverty or abundance, he responded with contentment. Now, these are just a few examples, but they show us that even among the righteous, there will be a wide range of income levels and degrees of wealth. And when we look over in John chapter 12, when the disciples criticized the woman who anointed Jesus with a jar of costly perfume, saying that it could have been sold and used to help the poor, Jesus responded by saying, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." She was making a sacrifice and doing something good with this expensive perfume. Yet the disciples thought that there was something better that she could have done with it. And this is how it often goes. It is very easy to judge others and how they use their wealth or possessions and think of something better that they could do over what they are currently doing. But that is a futile exercise. And furthermore, Jesus never came to fix the problem of poverty. If he did, he was a failure. Yes, we should help others, and we'll discuss more about that as we go on. But poverty will not be eliminated, and there are a few reasons for that. One is that some people are just lazy. Now, before I get any angry emails, I'm not saying that everyone who is poor is also lazy. But laziness does lead to poverty. You also have people who make bad choices, and that leads to bad outcomes in their life. You also have people who face calamities, and because they lose things in an accident or a fire or some natural disaster, they find themselves in need. And then you have people who face oppression or persecution or harsh treatment from others, and this leads them to lose their possessions or lose their wealth or be hindered from earning money. But there are several reasons why poverty exists and why there will always be people in poverty. And for more on each of these points, you can look at the article that I wrote titled, "Is It Possible to End Poverty?" I'll link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out. But we've gotten to talking about poverty, which is related, but I want us to get back to talking about this idea of income inequality. Why does income inequality, not just poverty, but why does income inequality exist? There are a few reasons for that. One is that some people work more than others. Generally speaking, the more you work, the more you earn. The wise man said, "In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." People who work fewer hours, unless they have some highly specialized skill that is in demand, they will generally not be as prosperous as those who work more hours. The wise man said, "The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. He did not work as others did, so he did not have what others had." But another reason is that some people do work that is more profitable than others. Not every job is equal. It should be no surprise that a doctor earns more income than a janitor. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a janitor, but a doctor requires more skill, more knowledge, more training, more liability, a greater ability to handle stress, and on and on. The wise man expressed this principle in this way. "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Those who are highly skilled will stand out and be recognized, and often this leads to greater pay. Also, there's going to be income inequality because some people provide more valuable contributions than others. In the parable of the talents, Jesus described two servants who took the money that their master entrusted to them and went out and doubled it. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him and gained 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. Both of these men were faithful, and both provided a return for their master. But one of them was entrusted with 5 talents because his master saw that he had the ability to make the greater impact. And this happens in businesses and organizations today. 2 people may have the same job, but one of them is able to make a greater impact on the profitability of the company. And this should result in greater pay, unless the employer wants to risk losing that valuable employee. But also, some people just enjoy more favorable circumstances than others. We might call that being lucky, but whatever we call it, some people enjoy more favorable conditions than others do. The wise man talked about the fact that time and chance exist. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. Theoretically, 2 people could have the same work ethic, same skill set, work the same number of hours, and so on, but not be paid the same. That's just how it goes sometimes. Some people are more fortunate in this regard than others. Well then, finally, what should we do with this reality? Knowing that income inequality exists and always will exist, how do we handle that? Well, first, we need to work hard and provide for ourselves and for our family. Paul said, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." This is a serious responsibility and is not to be taken lightly. And then Paul wrote to the brethren in Thessalonica, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." As Christians, we do not have the option of deciding that we're just not going to work because the situation feels unfair. If we are not willing to work, the inspired apostle says, then we should not eat. But also, do not complain if others enjoy more favorable circumstances than you do. Jesus told a parable about the laborers in the vineyard in Matthew chapter 20. The landowner hired men to work in his vineyard throughout the day, and the ones that he hired first at the beginning of the day, he agreed with them to pay them a denarius. However, at the end, it's told to us that he decided to pay all the workers, even the ones who only worked 1 hour, a denarius. And that did not sit well with the ones who worked all day. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" This parable was told to teach a principle about the kingdom, but it is grounded in how the world works. The ones who worked all day for a denarius were treated fairly. The ones who worked 1 hour for a denarius were shown generosity. They enjoyed a more favorable circumstance, which, by the way, was not because of some universal basic income law where the landowner was forced to pay them the same amount. It was of his own free will. He decided to pay them the same as the other. He was being generous with his own money. Now, it probably seemed natural for the first ones to complain, but they were wrong to do so. They received what they agreed to work for. They were not cheated out of anything. If others have more luck than we do, we should not be jealous or begrudge them for it. Instead, as Paul said, we should rejoice with those who rejoice. But another thing we need to do is not take advantage of those who are less fortunate. James addressed this problem when he said, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you." It is very easy for those with money to take advantage of those who do not have it. And this type of injustice is wrong and ought to be punished. But if we are blessed to be rich, we should not think of ourselves as being somehow better than others. The wise man said, "The rich and poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all." All of us, rich and poor, are still people who have been made in the image of God. And we should not allow differences in income or economic status to cause us to forget that. But another point, and we've already mentioned this, is that we should learn to be content. Again, remember what Paul wrote to the Philippians. "Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Learn contentment, but also look for ways to improve your circumstances. Contentment does not mean that we never try to improve our lot in life. It's not that we're trying to get rich for selfish reasons, but we are trying to honor the Lord with our wealth, whatever wealth that we are blessed with. And I talked about that in that article that I mentioned, What is Wealth For? It's linked in the show notes. But learn new skills, earn a degree or a certification, gain experience, make connections, learn what is valued and not. If we will do these things, we'll be more likely to improve our circumstances. But also, look for opportunities to help others. Because income inequality will always exist, we will often encounter those who are in need, and we should help as we are able. Paul said, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." As he said there, this is especially to help those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And speaking of them, develop close relationships with godly people. The psalmist wrote, "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." Why do the righteous not beg? Well, there are a few reasons for that, even without direct miraculous provisions from God. And for a list of these reasons, you can see the article that's linked in the show notes, Why the Righteous Do Not Beg. But one reason is because they associate with other righteous people, those who are striving to do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. During a time of great need in the early church, brethren were going so far as to sell property to help provide for their brethren who were in need. Now, it is rare that we have to go to these type of extremes, but brethren should be there for one another to help each other out when those needs exist. But then finally, look forward to the reward of heaven. Jesus said, "You always have the poor with you." Poverty and income inequality will always exist, despite anyone's best intentions and attempts to level the playing field. However, Jesus is preparing something better for his disciples. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." One of the reasons why Paul was content in his circumstances, as we noticed in Philippians chapter 4, is because he knew his citizenship was in heaven, as he said at the end of Philippians chapter 3. Things will never be fair or equal in this life, but we have an eternal reward awaiting us that the Lord has prepared for those who are faithful. So in summary, it can be frustrating when it seems that the work that we do, we might work as hard as other people, but we don't seem to have the same prosperity as they do. And it is also normal to see others who are suffering and wish that there was some way that we can help. Well, we should do the best we can in our work, and we should use whatever opportunities we have to help those who are in need around us. At the same time, we need to accept the reality that not everyone will have the same standard of living for a variety of reasons. And it was not Jesus' mission on earth to fix that. So let us do what we can for ourselves and for others, and then focus on the Lord's work and carrying out His will while we're here. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to some related materials, some of which we've mentioned in the episode, you can check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/06-11-26. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast and to share it with others, that is always appreciated. Also, if you're listening to this, remember that we upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that will be available on Substack. You can check that out. It will be linked in the show notes as well. Also, if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.